live here.
We live here.
We live here.
We live here.
A project exploring
race,
class,
power,
poverty,
systems, and the people they touch.
I'm Emmanuel Berry.
And I'm Tim Lloyd.
And from St. Louis Public Radio,
this is We Live Here.
On today's episode.
Hey, this is Janice calling from the Public Defender's Office. I'm reminding you that you do have court tomorrow.
You have a right to an attorney, but what happens if you can't afford one?
So the woman on the phone that we just heard is Janice Lampley. She's an assistant public defender for St. Louis County.
And her job, like all public defenders, is to represent people who are accused of a major crime.
Like the Miranda rights, we see them on TV. They go something like, you have the right to remain silent.
Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
You have the right to an attorney.
If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. So we were curious what it's like to be an appointed attorney, a public defender. It is a glamorous job, I'm sure, just like it seems like on TV, right?
Yes, because TV is so totally true to everything. Yeah. No, we're reporters, so we're actually going to find out. So I spent some time shadowing Lampley.
All right, so tell me a little bit about her. What kind of person is she?
Well, she's worked in St. Louis County for 2 years. She's a graduate of Loyola University in New Orleans, and she's kind of this really super energetic and knowledgeable person, and I guess I would also describe her as busy.
Right, and you spent time with her at the start of a day, so what was she up to?
Well, it was early and hectic. I met her in her office while she was getting ready for a hearing and checking in with one of her coworkers.
You ready, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, I wanted to go over this with you real quick.
Okay.
Do you want me to come over there?
No, come over here.
So these are my scribbly notes. I mean, it should be fine.
You want me to look at your notes? Or
no.
What do you want to go over with them?
I guess nothing.
You got this, Denise. You know exactly.
I always get really super nervous.
But she's so good. When did you hear her?
I always get really nervous before I, like, do something.
She still has nerves, even after years of law school and several years of practice under her belt. But she feels prepared. She has her motions ready, questions written down. She is ready for court. But this hearing is just one of many cases she's working on. Her biggest concern at the moment is actually just making sure she doesn't leave anything in her office.
We're going to Division 8 to Judge DePriest. And I'm sure he's in there. I don't know if the prosecutor's in there yet. I need to talk to him for a second. But I'm looking for a file. There's something else I have to do in another division. Oh, I put the file over here. Okay. Ready to roll. So every time before you go to court, you gotta make sure you have everything you need. Because the walk back is not, it's not fun. All right, I'm ready to go.
And this is where we have to turn the recorder off because we're leaving the office.
Hold on. Manuel.
Yes.
Why did we turn off the recorder? Why did that happen?
Okay, I know you want like all of that juicy court action.
I do.
But I didn't have permission to record in the courtroom or in the hallways for that matter. Mm. And that's kind of a common thing in most courts. It's hard to get permissions to go in. So we don't get to hear the courtroom drama. Apologies.
It's all right. But since we do have a little time to kill, what do you say that, because this is, after all, a show about systems, we spend some time talking about the public defender system?
Yeah, might as well. And to help us do that, allow me to introduce Michael Barrett. He's the incoming director of the Missouri Public Defender Commission. And he starts by explaining that Missouri has a statewide public defender system with a central office in Columbia.
But then it has offices throughout the state, both trial division and appellate offices.
So the way that the public defender system works, it's different state by state.
It is different. Yeah,
could you explain some of kind of the variations that exist within the system?
Sure. For instance, in New York, which is where I started in the public defender system, each county had its own public defender office. So that means that each county office was trying to get IT dollars, training dollars, support staff dollars from the local legislature. And again, you didn't have the economies of scale there. When you go to a statewide system, then you have one training office, one IT department. And so it's much more efficient. Now, that's That's how it should be set up. And we're really a model nationally. What we just need is more resources.
Resources as in money.
But doesn't it always come down to money?
Yeah, so it seems.
And Barrett says inadequate funding is a long-standing complaint among public defenders.
And, you know, we've always cried that we're inadequately funded, that we don't have enough attorneys to represent the sheer number of cases that we have. Going back several years, they said, what you don't have is objective data to back that up.
We'll start digging into some of those numbers and the people behind them right after this. The American Bar Association commissioned a study to assess just how busy public defenders are and to set workload standards.
What they found was that public defender workloads were so heavy that it can prevent them from spending a reasonable amount of time getting ready for cases.
For example, according to the study, professional norms determine that attorneys should spend, on average, a little more than 47 hours when working on a felony charge like burglary.
But the study also found that public defenders in Missouri were spending an average of only 9 hours working on that burglary case.
In other words, public defenders have too many cases and too little time.
Right. And Barrett says that can potentially shortchange a defendant. And it's not because they have bad attorneys, but because public defenders have too much to do.
So what about our public defender, Janice Lampley? What's her workload like?
Yeah, Lampley, back to that. Where were we?
You turned off your recorder.
Okay. We were in the hearing. We went to the hearing. And after the hearing, I followed her to another courtroom where she met with the judge for another case. And then she talked with some prosecutor for another case. And there was never really a pause to the day.
And then I have a DLC call at 3 o'clock that I have to do. And today was a lighter day because I knew I had some other stuff to do. And that's all for today, other than I have 7 people on the docket tomorrow. So after that, I'm going to prep for tomorrow, do some jail visits if I can get to the jail. My red light is on, so I have voicemails. I'm responding to emails right now from this morning, and I've not gotten to my physical mailbox yet. And it's 12:20, so the day goes by very fast.
Your current number of cases is just over 100, and they're mostly felonies.
Wow, she is busy, and I bet so are a lot of other public defenders. But I have to ask, though, is it true that their caseload is any worse than anyone else working in the criminal justice system?
Oh, there are definitely people who have questions about the ABA study.
I'm sure.
Which, again, was the one that found that public defenders are overworked and underfunded.
Police, prosecutors, crime labs, courts, public defenders all face funding challenges.
That's Platte County Prosecutor Eric Zond.
We have put a tremendous burden on our criminal justice system, and sometimes without fully funding that burden. And so all of those entities in the criminal justice system, starting with police but going all the way through to our judges and court clerks, face very large caseloads and challenges when it comes to managing those caseloads.
Zond says the system is burdened because we use the criminal justice system to solve society's ills.
We send a lot of people through the criminal justice systems whose problems began not because of anything within the criminal justice system, but because of something outside the criminal justice system, whether it's socioeconomic issues, education issues, family issues. But the criminal justice system often ends up being a repository for those issues.
All right, so everybody's feeling super stressed out and totally underfunded. What are people trying to do about that?
Well, there are many different ideas, and public defenders have tried a few different things, some of them successful, some not. For example, there have been several legislative attempts to have the department's funding increased, but none of those have ever come to fruition. But there's still some measures in place to keep workloads from climbing higher. There are financial qualifications. Michael Barrett says you cannot qualify for a public defender if your income exceeds 100% of the national poverty guidelines.
If you're a single mom with a child, you cannot make more than $15,000, $15,930 a year. So if you make $16,000, and we all know how far that goes, you don't qualify for our services. It's you know, we're not happy with this standard, but as it is right now, we don't have the lawyers to represent the clients that we do have. So so that we did impose standards several years back. Now, if we deny someone based on their economic situation, they can appeal to the court, and the court can assign us to represent them. And that happens in a number of cases. But it does raise the question of, you know, if they can't afford us, are they getting private counsel? Where are they getting $5,000, $10,000 to put down as a retainer to hire private counsel? And you have to think they can't. So what happens to these individuals?
And Barrett says that means some people might be slipping through the cracks because they make too much money. And then there's others like Deborah Jones.
I went into court today and I was denied a public defender. And I didn't know that I was going to be denied of something that I didn't do. I'm not able to work. I've been on a cane for... some years.
So I met Jones while I was sitting and watching a hearing at the 22nd Judicial Circuit Court, and that's in St. Louis City. So Jones is in her 50s, and like she said, she walks with a cane, and she says she cannot work.
So, okay, she was denied a public defender, but she's saying she doesn't have any money, right? So she doesn't have cash to pay for an attorney. So why was she denied a public defender?
Well, it boils down to the fact that she was only just charged with a misdemeanor. And in court, the judge explained that Jones was denied because Missouri's public defenders don't handle misdemeanors unless the defendant could end up serving time in jail or prison.
All right. So what exactly was she charged with?
She was charged with property damage. They're saying that she kicked in a door.
And again, she walks with a cane.
Yeah,
right?
She walks with a cane. This day, she was walking with a cane. And there's not really any evidence. It kind of boils down to a case of he said versus she said. So she's found guilty. She's going to have to pay a fine. She's not going to go to jail. She's not going to go to the prison. So she doesn't get a public defender.
All right. So how did she react when the judge told her she didn't qualify for a court-appointed attorney?
She really wasn't expecting it. And, you know, the judge just told her, you can just represent yourself. And if she does that, the worst thing that could happen, the judge says, she's going to have to pay a fine. But Jones says it's not about the fine. Why would she pay for something if she feels like she's innocent and she's saying she didn't do it?
I'm innocent. How can I do this? They got the paperwork. If I get a public defender, they going to read where they see I'm not able to do something like that.
All right, so if she doesn't have money for an attorney and she's not going to get a public defender, what is she going to do now?
The judge told her about a couple of clinics, which might be able to give her some pro bono help. But I've called one of those organizations and the message says, you know, we're not taking any new clients. So Joan says she's going to see if her daughter can help her out.
So I'm frustrated. And then when I see my daughter, that's going to be even more pressure on her, because then we might have to come up with some money after I'm supposed to represent myself, and I don't understand that.
So she's unsure of what she's supposed to do next. And I mean, going through the legal system without counsel can be confusing.
All right, let's pick things back up. Emmanuel, you were saying before the break that navigating the legal system can be, shall we say, confusing.
I spent the past few weeks in courts, and I was just observing, and I was completely lost, to be honest.
Anything in particular? Like, give me some specifics.
Okay, well, spatially? Like, where am I? Where am I supposed to go? You know, but even just trying to follow what's happening in the court. Janice Lampley, our public defender, says it's a difficult system to navigate alone, and that's part of her job, guiding clients through the process, which includes reminding them what to wear and when to come to court.
This is Janice calling from the PD's office. Are you screening your calls on me? This is Janice calling from the public defender's office. I'm okay. You screening your calls? Yeah, the number. That's how the number comes up. So look, I can only talk to you for a second. I'm just making sure you're coming to court tomorrow.
You know, for all the work Lampley does, she doesn't get paid a lot. She's an assistant public defender level 2, which means she makes around $45,000 a year, which is decent, but she went to law school.
Of course I have student loans. Yeah, I have Sallie Mae, which is now Navient or whatever bought them out, and my federal stuff. So, and the thing that sucks is when you are 18 and all you know is my scholarship doesn't cover my salary, you don't care if it's a private loan. You're like, all right, well, I need my school paid for. But now, like, what sucks is for the private loans, they don't care if I work in public interest. They want their money. Mm-hmm. Fed loan works with me a little bit more, but it's hard. Yeah. It's, you don't want to be an adult and feel like you're kind of living check to check a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. But, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
I got a journalism degree.
Yeah, I mean, but
the, so journalists can relate. So, I mean, the pay is not great, but she has a law degree. She could make a lot more money in another sector of law. So why public defense?
Why are we journalists, Tim?
Fair enough. Fair question.
Why? I mean, yeah, it's like us. She loves her job.
But the benefit to that, though, honestly, is that I come to work every day and I love what I do, which is why people stay in the MSPD system for so long, because, I mean, it really is great, challenging work. Like, I love litigating. Like, I love what I do. I don't get paid enough money. You know, clients don't say thank you. You don't feel like you're really helping. But a lot of people can't say that they love what they do. And I love coming to work. So, I mean, yeah, you're tired, you need some coffee, but, like, I love coming to work. And a lot of people can't say that.
Sometimes being a public defender means, you know, okay, let's just not sugarcoat this. It means defending people who are accused of doing horrible stuff. And we're talking about robbery, arson, rape, and murder. But Lampley says even though someone is accused of a horrible crime, they still deserve quality defense.
Just because you're charged with something, it doesn't mean you're guilty. And just because you don't have money for an attorney doesn't mean you're not entitled to adequate, sufficient representation. And it's just, I've always kind of been up for the underdog, I guess, you know? And so it's just always something I've always said, oh, I'll probably be a public defender one day.
Michael Barrett agrees with that. He also says the right to public defense is part of the Constitution. And a lot of the time, people who go into public defense hear a calling to protect that right. Even so, some of the people who feel public defense is their calling have trouble relating to their clients.
We want to be a system that reflects the people that we serve. We don't want to all be Caucasian, middle, upper middle class, young attorneys. We don't think that's, you know, we want our clients to trust us right out of the box. And I remember when I was starting off, the length at which I would have to go to build rapport because I looked exactly like the prosecutor. That's a problem. And that's an extra step that our attorneys have to make.
It's a step that Lampley doesn't have to make.
For me, being African American, it gives me a different type of relationship with my clients than a lot of other people do, because I can sympathize and empathize with them. I'm like, oh yeah, I have gotten harassed by the police before, or I have, you know, been racially profiled before, those sorts of things. And I think that outlook really is a benefit to my clients, because I'm like, yeah, I do know what that feels like. And I think it helps me be a better advocate, honestly. So, yeah.
And sometimes having an advocate can make a huge difference, because even a little charge can lead to big, big consequences.
Next time on We Live Here, how paying a debt to society can come with interest.
We Live Here is produced by me, Emmanuel Berry.
And me, Tim Lloyd.
Shula Newman is our editor. He just had a Jello shot for the first time last week.
Go, Shula. And Margie Fry-Vogel is the editor of St. Louis Public Radio.
Our theme music was performed by Casey Morgan.
From St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.